The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DePaul University. With more than 195,000 alumni around the world, DePaul graduates are a force in the workforce. Learn more at herewedo.depaul.edu.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Shot!
Good to see Sylvie here in the studio. He got to experience for the first time the 2-minute changeover, like it's a NASCAR pit change.
No, we're doing quick change.
Quick change?
Yeah, like it's halftime at a Bulls game. We're doing quick change.
Well, what am I wearing now?
You're wearing the same thing you were wearing two seconds ago.
But what am I wearing when you take the little thing, you put it over me, and Sylvie then you put it back down?
The Sylvie Strong shirt.
Boom. We're ready. Quick change. Black and Abdallah with you. Fast show.
Quick show.
If you want to get in tonight, you got to call us now.
312-332-3776.
Quick show. We have White Sox baseball coming up at 6:30. We will hear the White Sox and the Indians right here on ESPN 1000, the White Sox Network right here on ESPN 1000. So a fast show, quick show. If you want to get in, 312-332-3776. Dallas Keuchel on the mound tonight for the White Sox. Carlos Rodon scratched stomach issues earlier today.
Yeah.
So Keuchel steps in. He's on the mound against Cleveland.
Yeah, he's got a rumbly tum. There's nothing wrong with that. It happens to the best of us. You know, you eat something that doesn't agree with you. And he might take Keuchel's spot here in a couple days. Giolito is still scheduled to pitch the second game tomorrow. And then, you know, he could just go back to his regular rotation because they had the off day. And then they had the rain delay. And they just they didn't switch pitchers around. Cease just pitched his normal start. So they can kind of maneuver with the starters a little bit. They can move Rodon if they want to, that he can pitch in his normal spot. But it's good to have Keuchel available because of the rainout. So because of that day off and the rainout, you've got a decent pitching matchup tonight against a team that you're probably going to be competing with. A
lot going on tonight in Chicago sports. The Cubs and the Brewers face off at 6:40. The Cubs are 4-5 on the season. So are the White Sox. 4-5. I don't think many people would look at both of these teams heading into the season and would suggest they would have the same record at this point, but under 500. I think if you said they would have the same record, you'd be like, all right, they're both over 500, probably either first or second in their divisions, and maybe not have struggled to the extent that they have to this point. The only thing that we could then look at is then people are going to come back at us and say, yeah, it's early. Yeah, the season just started. Yeah, they've only played 9 games. What does it matter? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's where we have to kind of pull out the trends and then maybe hope that some of these trends, these poor trends, bad defensive play from the Chicago White Sox, the Cubs situation in their pitching staff, like some of the things that we've seen to this point, especially with the starters with the Cubs, hopefully this stuff doesn't happen 2, 3, 4 times throughout the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what the Cubs are going through right now, and it's kind of the same thing that has plagued them the last few years. It's situational hitting. It's situational hitting with the White Sox, too. They're leaving tons of guys on base. They're leaving double-digit guys on base. They had, you know, a ton of walks yesterday. Yermín Mercedes walked 3 times yesterday. They had multiple times where they had guys in scoring position with one out, and they couldn't get anyone in. And it's unfortunate for both teams that the hitting really hasn't caught up to the pitching right now. The White Sox are fortunate enough to have decent pitching right now. I know that Liam Hendricks blew the save yesterday, but that's going to happen a couple times a season. But for the Cubs, they need to figure out their hitting. They need to figure out what their issues are. You know, Wilson Contreras talked about it a little bit yesterday and was saying that they're looking for fastballs. They're chasing fastballs, and everybody's throwing off-speed stuff to them, and they need to adjust. The teams have adjusted. Before, you could throw off-speed stuff to the Cubs, they'd hit it just fine. They couldn't hit fastballs, right? Then they adjusted, and now the league has adjusted to them, and so now they can't hit again. And this just seems like it's a recurring theme with this team that ever since 2017, after the year they won the World Series, they had a decent year after that, but 2018, 2019, 2020, they haven't been able to hit. And they've gone through multiple hitting coaches. They've gone through multiple circuses and magicians and all that stuff that Madden used to do. That doesn't happen anymore with
Joe
David
Madden
Ross.
Was the problem. He was the issue.
Well, yeah, of course he was.
Get him out of town, everything will be fixed.
Yeah, he was the problem.
The players are the same. They still perform the same.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, big surprise there. I have this stat for you. Did you see this? That the Cubs, at this point in the season, they have three players that already have double-digit strikeouts. Jock Peterson has 11. Wilson Contreras has 11. Javier Baez, 15 strikeouts at this point in the season. They have three players with double-digit strikeouts. They also have three other players, Happ, Hayward, and Bryant, with 9 strikeouts.
That's crazy.
It's all this team does is strike out. And also, they're 30th in batting average, they're 30th in on-base percentage, they're 29th in OPS, they're 27th in runs scored to this point in the season. The names that are there for the Chicago Cubs in the lineup look so much better than the stats that they actually produce as a group.
Yeah.
Each and every year for the last 3 seasons. This is nothing new. You know, we've gone back and forth with the it's early and mocking the telling us to relax, the whole thing. We identified this 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You and I identified it. We all identified it. This team does not produce at a high level as you would think the names that are on the board would produce at that level.
Or you ride the roller coaster, right? Would I be surprised tonight if they went up against Freddy Peralta, who has he has 0 ERA, but he's given up 3 hits. He's pitched 7 innings so far. He's 1-0. Would I be surprised if they went out there and put up, you know, 10 runs on the Brewers? No, because that's what the Cubs are supposed to be capable of. The problem is, for the next 3 games, 1 run, no runs, 2 runs. You can't have this roller coaster of run scoring. You need to be consistent. That's what the key was in 2016 and 2017, even in 2015, are those long losing or winning streaks that they would go on where they would just crush and have the insane run differential. They've got a negative run differential now. I mean, obviously they're 4-5. They're going to have a negative run differential. So it's something that they need to adjust to, or you're going to see changes, and not the changes people want to see, because these players are decreasing their value. You know, like if Bryant was hot, you'd be talking about, okay, well, now if nobody else is playing well and Bryant's hot, time to move him. If Javi Baez is hot and no one else is hitting, time to move him. The problem is no one's hitting right now.
Fast show, quick show, until 6:30. If you want to get in, 312-332-3776.
The Eric Andre
George
Show.
George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000.
George.
Hi, my brothers.
What's
quick
up?
Question. Why isn't Kopech the closer if you got to earn the spot, according to the general manager? He's untouchable, and the other guy, Liam, is better in longer relief anyway. He's got a strong arm. I'm not saying he's bad. It just seems like they've got the roles reversed right now.
Yeah, Kopech's been outstanding, too. Thank you, George, for the phone call.
I thought about this morning. I was doing work.
Some baseball
I was doing some
thinking.
Baseball work, baseball
some
thinking.
Thoughts.
And the reason is like $50 million. Like, that's the reason.
Well,
is you don't sign. I know that Hendricks said he wasn't the closer until he's named the closer, and they do that. And yeah, I understand what you're saying, George, but you don't do that. Now, if Hendricks struggles and you need to make a move, then yeah, absolutely. But you've seen from his 3 outings, he's capable of going 2+ innings. He's gone 2 or more innings in all of his outings. So why wouldn't you have him in that 2-inning relief role if he's throwing, you know, heat during that time?
Well, let me ask you this. How far off, you know, 2 innings per outing for Michael Kopech at this time? He's given up 1 hit on the season in 6 1/3 innings pitched. He's been fantastic. 2 innings, looking like a stud. How far off are you from extending that out?
I hope they don't. I don't want them to.
Okay, George asked the question, should he be the closer? I'm watching it saying, how's this guy not starting?
Well, here's the thing.
How is this not one of your guys that you roll out there once every 5 days?
If they didn't sign Hendricks and they were looking for a closer and they were going to do the closer by committee and Kopech is out there and he's doing this, you make Kopech the closer, right? If you're actually trying out closers and trying to figure out what you're going to do with this bullpen. But Tony La Russa said he builds his bullpen from the back up, right?
Yep.
So he starts with the closer and then works up. So he's got Hendricks as the closer. There's nothing wrong with having Kopech as your two-inning guy. There's nothing wrong with taking Giolito out in the, at the end of the sixth or in the fifth if you need to, and then or whoever it is, Keuchel tonight, obviously not tonight because he pitched yesterday, but you know what I mean. Taking a pitcher, pitchers are only going five and two-thirds, maybe six innings now, right? Lance Lynn is an oddity at this point. The fact that he can go in a shutout game, go eight, 9 innings, if he doesn't throw 100 pitches, it's rare for him to not throw 100 pitches. He's already done it once this year. So to me, he has more value as a two-inning guy because you know you're getting locked down 2 innings right now, which is, to me, more valuable than, I know it's the end of the game, it's the closer, it's all that kind of stuff, but I think having, being able to go to him after you go from Cease yesterday, after in the playoffs, if you're going from Giolito or Keuchel or Lynn, and you're going to Kopech, you're going to Crochet, and then you're going to Hendricks, that's lethal. That's a World Series battery right there, or a rotation right there.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. And we see the Twitchers, JBiggs10 says, Kopech hasn't started in 2 years. There's no reason to risk hurting him and stretching him too early. I'm not saying stretching him too early, but if he's this dominant throughout the regular season and we're halfway through the summer and he looks like this, you know, is he better off serving you every couple of days for a couple of innings or, you know, taking the spot of your fifth starter and being able to solidify once every 5 days a guy who is just that good?
Well, it also, to me, depends on how Cease and Rodon are pitching. If Cease pitched well yesterday, it was unfortunate for him in the bullpen yesterday, but Cease pitched well yesterday. Rodon's got the bum tum, so he's not going tonight.
The bum tum.
He's got the bum tum. But if they're pitching well and they're giving you five solid innings, six solid innings with every outing, then why do you need, why mess it up if it's not broken?
Tyler in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Black Abdallah, love you guys.
What up, man?
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm all right. What's going on with you?
Got a little question. Bulls are kind of on the low right now. What is it going to take for them to get in the playoffs? Obviously, no point guard, but what's it going to take to get them over the edge?
Don't lose to the worst team in the NBA.
Oh, I'm with you.
That's a start.
Well, they got to play better defense, Tyler. This weekend was three steps backwards for what we saw the week prior where they put together three straight wins. I did not like what I saw in the last couple of games, and we'll see tonight, you know, against Memphis. Memphis is a team battling for the playoffs as well. You know, go beat Memphis. You got Memphis twice this week. I believe Orlando sandwiched in the middle. Take care of business this week.
They should be pissed about the way they played yesterday.
Yeah.
And they should take it out on Memphis.
They got to play defense.
Yeah.
And then get back to team offense, because that's something that bothered me the other night too, is that, you know, Zach LaVine goes off for 50 points. Fantastic. You still lost the ball game, and in the fourth quarter, he was playing hero ball. That's not going to get it done. And lately, they've been playing much better team offensive basketball since the trade. So something to keep our eyes on. Black and Abdallah here with you.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Yeah, you're right about that.
What?
Oh, we'll get to it at Song of the Night, but you're right. Black and Abdallah here with you on ESPN 1000, taking you to coverage of the White Sox and the Indians on the White Sox Network coming up at 6:30 right here on ESPN 1000. Cleveland for a four-game set, first pitch at 7:10. Connor McKnight on the call with Darren Jackson. Jeff Meller hosting the pre- and the post-game show tonight here on the White Sox Network. So Jeff will have your pregame coming up at 6:30 against the Indians right here on ESPN 1000.
That's awesome. I've known Jeff Meller a long time. He's a diehard White Sox fan, lifelong White Sox fan. This is awesome. The broadcast tonight should be great. Nothing against Len going to TV, but tonight should be great. As someone who's known Jeff for a long time, like, this is great.
Shout out to Jeff. Shout out to Connor as well.
Of course, being able to
call play-by-play of a major league team, the Chicago White Sox. It's pretty cool all around. So stick with the guys tonight right here on ESPN 1000. Dan in Bridgeview, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Huge fan of the show, but I just kind of want to piggyback on the whole Kopech subject that you guys were talking about. I think it would be a great idea to keep him at a reliever position or closer position. Just too much uncertainty going on with surgery. Is he mentally fit to be a starter? And, you know, the rotation's doing great right now, so why am I set up? I know we paid Hendricks to be that closer, but if he's the guy to do it, then, you know, money shouldn't be an issue. The win should be what the issue is.
Yeah, it's a good point, Dan. Thank you for the phone call.
Listen, I don't want to be that guy, but as Aaron in the Shy tweets us, it's 9 games.
You don't have to be that guy.
It's been
though.
9 games. Like, we don't need to be moving Hendricks out of the closer role, moving him to long relief, and then moving Kopech into the closer. It's been 9 games.
Well, you don't have to be that guy.
I'm not being that guy.
I'm letting you know.
I'm not. I'm trying not to be the it's early guy, but we don't need to be making drastic moves and moving a guy out of the closer role and extending him into long relief with a guy who's there for somewhat long relief. 2 innings is a decent amount of relief.
It is 9 games. If you're a fan of Bleck and Abdallah, over the last 3 to 4 years, we on the show have had a bit that we've done on the show. Our friend of ours is an obsessive White Sox fan, but all he talks about is the Cubs. That's all he talks about. He's a huge White Sox fan. He only talks about the Cubs. And so we gave him time on our show each week to give a White Sox report. It doesn't make any sense anymore. It's a bit that we have to cancel because we're now the home of the White Sox.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
The White Sox Network, right here on ESPN 1000.
It doesn't make sense.
His name is Brian O'Connor. App O'Connor is his handle on social media. We have the little intro and everything.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
O'Connor's proud of you.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing. Eric sings it. It's fantastic, right? But, like, the bit doesn't make any sense. He sent another one.
What?
You see, we canceled the bit 3 weeks ago. We're done doing this.
I told him.
We're the home of the White Sox.
Stop.
We're not doing it anymore.
Come back to Chicago, Brian. We're the home of the White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
O'Connor's proud of you.
Thanks, guys. Well, I know you're trying to break up the White Sox report, but what we have is too important, so I won't allow it.
But
no. It's been an up and down week for the White Sox, but, you know, given the injuries they've had to deal with, I think 500 is pretty good after 2 weeks. Plus, you know, we have the best story in baseball. We got Yermín Mercedes. He's hitting everything that's coming near the plate, but of course, we're not allowed to talk about who's hitting the ball. We have to focus on who's not hitting the ball. That's right, the Northsiders, the Cubbies can't hit the broadside of a barn. What are we going to do? Who are we going to blame? Can we blame Grandpa Rossi? Oh, no, he's pulling all the right strings. Can't blame him. What about the bullpen? No. We have the best reliever. We have the best closer in the history of baseball. That's right. I don't know if you saw this past weekend. He shut down the 27 Yankees, well, the reincarnation of the 27 Yankees, the Pittsburgh Pirates, of course. But, you know, even at 500, just we're lucky they're at 500, because when they turn it around, oh my gosh, they're going to call up Nico Horner, the weather's going to get warmer, and the balls are just going to start flying out of here. I don't know if you know this, but when the wind is blowing out, you better hold on to your hats. All right. Thanks for letting me talk about the White Sox.
You didn't talk about the White Sox.
O'Connor's proud of you.
The bit doesn't make sense anymore. He continues to send in the White Sox report. We're the White Sox Network. Connor McKnight, Jeff Mellor tonight, Len Casper, Darren Jackson. We got it all.
All of it.
Right here on ESPN 1000. It doesn't make any sense. All right. Okay. Song of the night.
All right, hit this because I want to rock the blank out right now.
Because it's time for
what dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Each night on Bleck and Abdallah, we like to bring to you the Song of the Night. Tonight, Metallica, I Disappear from 2000.
This video is so bad. From the Mission Impossible 2 soundtrack.
All right, so this is the reason why this song This is why it's the song of the night tonight. So April 13th of 2000, tomorrow, will be the anniversary. Metallica sued Napster. And the song that started this whole feud between Napster and Metallica is I Disappear. Why? Because this song leaked on Napster and on streaming services, and radio stations picked it up, and it wasn't a finished version of I Disappear.
Ugh.
And so then radio stations started playing it before the song was even ready. Metallica was making the song for the Mission Impossible 2 soundtrack.
And remember how they actually debuted the song. It didn't debut on radio because, like you said, they played unfinished versions of it that they got off of Napster and LimeWire and all that stuff. They premiered it on MTV.
Yeah.
So it was like, let's get a bunch of metalheads. It's the first Metallica song in years. And it's like appointment viewing for Metallica fans. And it's like, we got to get in. I remember setting up, because there's no DVR, setting up a tape to record it so I could watch it again as soon as it was done.
And they're like out in the desert, right?
They're out in the desert. It's like basically every action movie trope. Like Jason's running around, the bass player's running like through the streets, trying. He's like crowded. Like James Hetfield is driving a car really fast while the street's blowing up behind him. They're all on top of like this kind of mountain thing. Lars looks like a dummy.
All right, let me ask you this.
Okay,
real Metallica fans, jump in here with this thought. Isn't the solo in this like the weakest of all Metallica songs?
It is. It is.
And didn't they get blasted for that when it came out?
But as a diehard Metallica fan, I love this song.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. The riff is just so, like, the basic riff is so good. And it was, I just remember being like, new Metallica. Like, finally, there is new Metallica. It has been so long. I think it was after Reload.
Yep.
It was like, it's been years since there is new Metallica.
And it hit.
Oh, yeah, dude. It worked. They're on top of a mountain. They're on top of a mountain.
And how about Mission Impossible 2? Also, wasn't that Tom Cruise had the hair out for that?
Yeah. And you remember,
that was a big deal. That was a big summer blockbuster.
That was a new metal festival because Limp Bizkit did the theme song.
Oh, yeah. Bow, bow,
bow, now. Here comes the bad
all
solo.
Right,
on top
give us
of the
bad
mountain.
Solo, Tyler.
Lars is running through the building during this part, and it's just blowing up behind him. Like, he's clearly, like, in no danger whatsoever.
Ugh,
I hate Lars. He's a good drummer, but I can't stand him for the whole Napster stuff.
Well, the pushback came from this. This started it all between them and Napster, and what? We all stream now.
Yeah.
Like you look back on it from April 13th of 2000, like, that's how we all consume music now, is from streaming services. Man. You got to pay for it, but still.
And I loved his guitar in this. I love James Hetfield's guitar in this video because it's the Excalibur that he always plays, but it looks like wrestling steps. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it looks like metal. It's got like the little crisscrosses in it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. Man, that takes me back. Oh, this is prime, like, freshman year Abdallah Metallica fan.
Yeah.
Disappear! I think I taped this off the radio on a mini disc player too, so I could have it. You know what a mini disc is, Tyler?
Nope. Song of the night. Hey, he has
turn
no
up
idea.
The volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for
nope. There's no reason for him to know.
There's no dial on my phone.
Nope. Yeah, it's just an. Never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
We will be back tomorrow night at 6, and also with Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Cleveland. Chicago, the White Sox, the White Sox Network with Jeff Meller with your pregame. Coming up next, right here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.